The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, September 1st, 2014. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 14th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: our partner, the Shakespeare Standard, ran a couple of stories of note, including Bardwaj Hater, an Indian film adaptation of Hamlet that looks like it could be my generation's Throne of Blood. A bold statement, true, but the trailer freaking rocks. And a story previewing the upcoming BBC production of Richard III with Benedict Cumberbatch discussing the educational opportunities. BroadwayWorld.com ran a slew of stories, including the opening of a new theater in Baltimore for the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company near Baltimore, Maryland's Inner Harbor Complex. The Barbican Theater 2015 production of Hamlet with Benedict Cumberbatch being presented on movie screens next year. It's a good thing, too, since the stage run is already sold out. The upcoming production of Twelfth Night by the Long Beach Playhouse in California. The Utah Shakespeare Festival hosting a military appreciation weekend, offering free tickets for service personnel and their families up to 6 members. And the upcoming presentation of As You Like It by Shakespeare in the Streets, Shakespeare Festival, St. Louis. BBC Radio 2 released an interview with 2 actors who have played Kate in The Taming of the Shrew at the Royal Shakespeare Company, one of which is a man. As the new school year begins, the Folger Library's education blog ran a story on close reading and tech tool tips. The Standard ran a story on Bell Shakespeare's Henry V, set in a bomb shelter during World War II and performed by the children trapped there. The Wall Street Journal ran a story on a number of alcohol-related Shakespeare productions down in Manhattan, including the off-sited, here at least, Drunk Shakespeare, Shakespeare, and new ones like The 3 Days Hangover and Shotspeare. The Huffington Post ran a story on the Pop Sonnet Tumblr site, which takes pop songs and gives them the old iambic pentameter spin. I particularly like the Call Me Maybe version. The LA Weekly ran a story on Salty Shakespeare, LA's Elizabethan flash mob company. From farmers markets to downtown bus stations to crowded elevators, they've been disturbing the peace for 3 to 5 minute scenes before moving on to their next venue. The Kansas City Star ran a story on the repertory productions of Hamlet and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead being mounted by Kansas City Actors Theater. In an LA Times blog post, theater critic Charles McNulty discusses who would be on his shortlist to play King Lear, this after seeing John Lithgow in Shakespeare in the Park production in New York City. The Palladium Item of Richmond, Indiana announced weekly readings and discussions of Shakespeare at the Two Sisters Bookstore. The Huffington Post ran a story on Ian Mark Jones entitled The Ramifications of Disliking a Shakespeare Play, which discusses what happens when he said he didn't like Midsummer. It's pretty interesting stuff, even if I don't share the opinion. The South Bend, Indiana Tribune ran a story on the upcoming presentation of a 1950s set rock and roll musical version of Twelfth Night called All Shook Up, presented by the main stage. Madison.com ran a story on the Oxford Fellowship Conference in Madison, Wisconsin, as they discussed the authorship question. The Ukiah, California Daily Journal ran a story entitled Shakespeare, The Legacy in His Lines, discussing the vastness of that legacy. The Isle of Wight County Press ran a story on next week's launch of the first Isle of Wight Shakespeare Festival, including a production of Twelfth Night. The South Coast Repertory Theater is readying their new production of The Tempest, featuring Magic, Teller of Penn and Teller fame, A Dust Bowl, and Tom Freaking Waits. In other words, I'd be way up for this. The Londonist ran a story on the upcoming production of Titus Andronicus by Theatre of Everything, set in a multi-story garage in Peckham. This includes a trailer, pretty interesting. Would have loved to have heard some of the text in it, though. The Mancunian Matters, a website in Manchester, England, previewed the upcoming crowd-funded production of Othello by Last Productions, set in a modern, non-American football club. The Allen American previewed the upcoming production of Antony and Cleopatra by Shakespeare Dallas. The Canberra Times ran a story on a streamlined production of Midsummer Night's Dream called The Dream by Bell Shakespeare in Canberra, Australia, and then the Canberra Times reviewed that production, calling it a joyous mix of the romantic and the poetic. The Stage co.uk reviewed Muse of Fire by Shakespeare's Globe, calling the immersive tour of the new Globe Theatre in London, under the guise of looking for the cause of the fire that brought down the original Globe, delightfully informative, participative theatre for families. The Jamaica Observer reviewed the touring production of Hamlet by Shakespeare's Globe in Jamaica, calling it great, but complaining about a local actress because she wouldn't provide interviews post-show. The San Diego City Beat reviewed The Two Gentlemen of Verona by the Old Globe, raving, calling it an al fresco delight. The Guardian ran a review of The Two Gentlemen of Verona by Royal Shakespeare Company, focusing more on the fact that this production meant that the reviewer had only one more play before he had seen the entire canon. Of this play, he said it was a pleasure. And WFPL.org, public media in Louisville, Kentucky, reviewed Love's Labor's Lost by Actors Theatre, calling it a love letter to the bard and an imaginative pastiche. Now, let's look back at the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in the plays. In August 26, 1066, Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead open at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. This absurdist play takes place just offstage during the events of Hamlet, and was turned into a pretty good film adaptation in 1990 with Tim Roth and Gary Oldman. In August 27, 1978, actor Robert Shaw died. Although he's not known as a Shakespearean actor, he did play Claudius to Christopher Plummer's Hamlet in a BBC television movie, Hamlet at Elsinore, in 1964. Michael Caine played Horatio in that first adaptation of Hamlet to be filmed on location. On August 30, 1991, Prospero's Books, Peter Greenaway's adaptation of The Tempest, opened in the UK with John Gielgud as the title musician. Innovative and wildly stylistic, the film has yet to see a legitimate DVD release in the US. On August 31st, 1422, Henry V died of dysentery during his third campaign in France. Harfleur and Agincourt took place during his first invasion, his marriage to Catherine during his second. His death left the throne in the hands of his 9-month-old son. And on September 1, 1399, Richard II arrived back in London, having surrendered to Henry Bolingbroke at Flint Castle back on August 19th. On his arrival, he was taken into custody and imprisoned in the Tower of London. Parliament accepted his abdication at the end of the month, and Bolingbroke was crowned Henry IV in mid-October. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to The Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending September 1st, 2014. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we'll catch you next week.